Blog Talk Radio.
And he shall reign forever and ever. Welcome to the House of Christ Ministries. Present the Fivefold Ministry Show tonight, the first in a series of show. And we just want to greet each and every one. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to the first in a series of show, House of Christ Ministries present, Reverend Donald Davis. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share your word and to proclaim your Son, Jesus Christ, throughout the world. Heavenly Father, you are present in this room in our lives. All authority in heaven and on earth belongs to the resurrected Christ. And being alive in Christ, I have the authority to resist the devil as I submit to you tonight. I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit and guide me into truth. I ask for your complete protection and guidance as I seek to know you and to do your will. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, I pray. I thank you. Praise the Lord, everybody, and thank you for this opportunity to come into your homes tonight to tell you about the fivefold ministry and to proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world and to honor the Great Commission. I would like to take this opportunity to encourage all ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ to come out of their comfort zone and to honor the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of this world." Amen. We need, as Christians, to use every social network available to us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should never be afraid to say or to do the things that we are commanded to do. So I'm encouraging you tonight to take a stand and to mobilize your community for the furtherance of the gospel. Praise God. I thank you tonight. We will not be taking any calls tonight, so if you have any question, please send us an email at hodminister@gmail.com, and we will gladly respond to you. Now, let me explain a little about the House of Christ Ministries and what we do. We strongly believe in the Great Commission, and we believe in the fivefold ministry, the teachings of the fivefold ministry. We are located in Elmont, New York, and we are affiliated to the House of David School of Ministries, which is also located in New York. You could visit us on our website at www.myhocm.ning.com. We also have a bookstore, a Christian bookstore online, and the address is www.houseofchristbookstore.com. Now, for the House of David Ministries, you could reach them at www.riversofrevival.com. Tonight, the first in a series of lessons on understanding the fivefold ministry. And we will try to go through what we have here tonight and for future shows, which is going to be on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. So tonight we're going to be speaking about understanding the fivefold ministry gifts and other callings. But before we get into that, I would like to point out to you that God is restoring and reviving His power in and through His church. This restoration is causing the church to enter into a mighty revival. In this, the supernatural will be common among true believers in Jesus Christ. God is now raising up people who are no longer content with going to church to be a spectator. These people are hungry for more than just tradition, formality, and religion. They are seeking to be used in the demonstration of God's power, which is very important for us. So as we seek to understand what is really the fivefold ministry and the fivefold calling, the Lord has endowed His people, the Church of the Living God, with various ministry gifts and calling. Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 16 says, "And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compact by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual work in the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Why has God given us the church gifts and calling? These gifts and calling in our lives are not intended to serve our purposes, rather to serve the Lord's purpose. These gifts and callings are given to assist in the labor or work that God has called and appointed each of us to do. Many want gifts and callings, yet don't want to be laborers. These gifts and callings are intended to help us to labor or work for the Lord. Matthew 9, verse 37 to 38 says, "Then He saith unto His disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Laborers are people with whom gifts and calling are intended to operate in and through. So many have calls, yet they are regulated to sitting on the sideline because they do not want to be laborers. Some associate God's gifts and calling with personal greatness or as a tool to do and have what they desire. Yet they are mistaken in its use. God waits for us to have hearts dedicated to his labor before he releases the true opportunity and full potential of our gifts and calling. There are also various purposes in each call. Some calls are purposed to serve the body of Christ, others in ministering to the world, while yet others are purposed to minister and to serve the Lord, such as the intercessor. Some calls are to serve natural needs, while others are to send to minister to spiritual needs, and there are many that do both. Gifts and callings can also have specific groups of people, areas, and reach that they are intended to function in. You may have a local gift or a gift or calling that functions in your local church or your community. Some gifts and calling are purposed to function on a citywide level, others statewide, others on a regional level, some on an international level, while others on a international basis. You may have a gift or calling to a certain race of people, while others may be sent to all races. God gives us these gifts and calling as he desires, for he knows that each of us will be able to do. The size or magnitude of the call does not mean that God loves a person more, or that the person is somewhat greater than others. The greater gift or calling, the greater the level of commitment to God that is needed, and the greater the need to be disciplined and responsible regarding the people and the territory that your gift or calling is called to be ministered to and in. For example, the level of prayer needed for a church of 10 people most likely is not the same as the level of prayer needed for an international ministry. Yet faithfulness in prayer and dedicated service in the lesser works can qualify you to advance to greater works. It is also important that you do not try to step into a call that has not been given you out of desire or in competition with others. A good way to be sure of the call or gifts in your life is to share it with your spiritual leaders, and God often gives them insight into what you're called to do. When God calls you, his work must become priority. Matthew 4, verse 18 to 22 says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew's brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." Some of the disciples were fishermen. Yet when Jesus called, their vocation or work became secondary, and the call of God primary. It does not mean that they never fished again, for they did. If we go to the scripture in John 21, verses 2 to 11, we'll see that. Rather, that they used their vocation to live and no longer lived in their vocation or work. Many people are busy doing things in their churches and in other places, yet not the thing that they are called by God to do. Some are called to stay where they are and work, while others are called to leave where they are at, to go with God as directed them. You know this by an inward witness of the Holy Spirit, and often by a confirmation from your present leaders. Beloved, you must also prepare for the call of God and qualify through submission of your will to the obedience and will of Jesus Christ. This goes along with a willingness to forsake all and to go with Jesus where he will lead you, for your gift or calling may not be for where you are presently. Again, you responded to the call of God through submission to his will and being willing to hear what he wants to say. 1 Samuel 3, verses 4 to 10 gives us an example. It reads, "Now the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here am I.' And he ran unto Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou callest me.' And he said, 'I called not. Lie down again.' And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And he answered, 'I called not, my son. Lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, 'Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.' So Samuel went and lie down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called at the other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" This must be the response of the Christian today. "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." Hearing does not imply recognition of God's voice, rather submission to his will. The gift or calling in your life must be submitted to his will. Without repentance, gifts and calling are without repentance. Romans 11 verse 29 says, "For the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance." The word calling here in the Greek is pronounced klesis, meaning an invitation. Repentance in the Greek in this verse is pronounced hamet am el etos, meaning irrevocable or not to be repented of. God does not take back his gifts and callings, yet sin and other impedances may shut down a person's ability to function in them. The fivefold gifts. The fivefold ministry is gifts from Jesus Christ in the lives of people, but also the people who have these gifts are a gift to the church, which is the body of Christ, Ephesians 4, verse 8 says, "Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." According to Ephesians 4, verse 11, these gifts are the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. All these gifts were given to men for the edification of the church, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and again, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Let us examine three key words in this text: perfecting, work, and edifying, so that we may better understand these calls and gifts of the church. Perfecting of the saints. In the Greek, perfecting is pronounced katartismos, meaning complete furnishing. The Merriam-Webster Collegiate Dictionary defines perfect as being entirely without fault or defect. This is consistent with Jesus coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. The fivefold ministry is called to bring the church to this place. The fivefold ministry is to complete the church, bringing them to perfection by putting in them the necessary furnishing, which is the Word of God in them. Work of the ministry. In the Greek word, work is ergon, pronounced ergon, meaning to toil, as an effort or occupation, deed or doing labor. The Merriam-Webster Collegiate Dictionary defines work as an activity in which one exerts strength or faculties to do or perform something. The fivefold ministry exerts their strength and labor in the ministry, which is a service to God. Edifying the body of Christ. The Greek word for edifying is pronounced oikodome, meaning an architecture, a structure, or building. The Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary defines edify as to build, to establish, or to instruct and improve, especially in moral and religious instructions. The fivefold ministry builds up and structures the body of Christ. All of these calls must be in existence throughout the church age to perfect the church for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Although some people, denominations and organizations do not believe that all exists today, the Bible, our final authority in these things, say that they must exist until the church is perfected. In each generation, the church has to be perfected. For the work of the ministry, again in each generation, and for the building up or edifying of the body of Jesus Christ in each generation. God is no respecter of persons, groups, or generations, and he would not give one generation such tools and gifts to help them while leaving the others to stand on their own. Beloved children of God, there are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers among us today. We will take a short break and then we'll come right back.
Hallelujah.
We're back on the air with House of Christ Ministries presenting the Reverend Donald Davis. And we thank you again for listening to us and as we give praise and proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world. So let's get back to the lesson, edifying the body of Christ. The Greek word for edifying is okadome, meaning architecture, a structure, building. We spoke about it earlier, but I think it's best if we go over so that each and every person can have an understanding of what we're really talking about. The Merriam-Webster Collegiate Dictionary defines edify as to build, establish, or to instruct and improve, especially in moral and religious instructions. The fivefold ministry builds up and structures the body of Jesus Christ. All these calls must be in existence throughout the church age to perfect the church for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Although some people, some denominations, and some organizations do not believe that all exists today, the Bible or final authority, and again, the Bible is the final authority on all these things. Man cannot make that decision as to what, how, where, and when the gospel is preached and what is required. If you are being called or being called to walk in the fivefold ministry, then your flesh must be crucified to function properly in it. I'm not saying that you have not been or will not be tempted. Rather, I'm saying that you should be strong enough and disciplined enough in God to overcome these temptations in your life. My fellow brethren, sometimes it's very tough to avoid these things, but if we stay in the Lord and continue to pray and seek repentance each day, these things can be overcome. Other biblical calling, the bishop. The Greek word is episcopos, pronounced episcopos, meaning superintendent, officer in charge, or a general in charge, or meaning ears of the church, or an overseer in the church. 1 Timothy 3, verse 1 and 2, and Titus verse 1, verse 7. Then we talk about the elder. They're not just older people, because some people believe that if a person has the position of an elder in the church, he has to be 100 years old. That's far from the truth. They're not just older people. But if we go into the book of Acts, chapter 14, verse 23, it tells us to ordain elders, and it makes no sense to ordain older people or very old people who can really move around. That does not make any sense. The deacon, the Greek word is diakonia, pronounced diakonia, meaning to be an attendant or to wait upon. Minister, to serve in menial duties. 1 Timothy 3, verse 8 to 13, and Philippians 1, verse 1. Minister means servant or server. There are too many ministerial job descriptions under this title to go into details at this time. But if we should read Mark 10, verse 43, and Acts 26, verse 16. Governments, administrators or rulers. In the Greek, it is kubernesis, and it's pronounced kubernesis, meaning to steer dictatorship in the church. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, we can read about that. Gifts of helps, the Greek word is antilipsis, pronounced antilapsis, meaning relief. And then we could also read about that in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. Intercessor, which is a prayer warrior, the Hebrew word is paga, pronounced paga, P-A-W-G-H, meaning to come between, cause to entreat, fall upon, make intercession. Then we have the psalmist. The Hebrew word is Zamir, pronounced Zamir, meaning a song to be accompanied and instrumental music, singing, or song. 2 Samuel 23, verse 1, will tell you more about that. Musician, the Greek word is musilos, pronounced musikos, meaning musical or minstrel or musician. 2 Kings 3, verse 15, and Revelation 18, verse 22. Then we have ministry of giving, which we could follow up on that in Romans 12, verse 8. Exhortation, the Greek word is parakaleo, pronounced parakaleo, meaning to call, mayor, invite, invoke by exploration, ortation, or consolation, to beseech, call for, comfort, desire. There are many other ministries and calls that fall under one of the above categories. So if you do not see what you feel called to do, then examine what area best describes your call. Now, saints, we are talking about now sitting under someone, meaning if you sit under someone with the anointing, to help bring to maturity and to develop a gift or calling in someone's life, God often has them sit under someone who has been called to operate in that gift, or a teaching apostle, if it is a fivefold ministry gift. Yet apostle may not function at all times in one particular gift, but can at any time, by the direction and anointing of the Holy Spirit, function in any gift. Jesus is an example of this, for he could function in any time in any of the fivefold ministry gifts, for he was also an apostle. Hebrews 3 verse 1 tells us that. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the high priest of our profession. The Apostle Paul, in another example of this, many of the fivefold ministry gifts help develop the various other ministry gifts and calling. It is also important to know that a person can sometimes have more than one gift, including the fivefold gifts, operating in their lives. This depends on where the call will function and who the call is to minister to, for God knows what is needed. Many people move from the person whom God has sent them to be trained and nurtured by, too soon or in zeal. Because of this, many have missed their calls, or their calls and gifts don't function to the fullest capacities, because they did not submit long enough to receive the double portion of the anointing. Again, if you are called to a certain cause or a certain ministerial office, you may be required to minister to a person in whom already has a call or gifting. Such was the case of Elisha, who ministered to Elijah. Because of his faithfulness, he got a double portion, or twice as much power, as the one that he ministered to or served. But because you served an apostle does not mean that you automatically will become an apostle. And this is why we have so much confusion today in the body of Christ. Wherever you go, we are finding more people who are saying we're apostle without proof. We can't do that. You may be called to be a minister or called to minister to or to serve in another call and yet be called to inherit their call. Rather, your purpose is to minister and to undergird that person's calling. Gifts also function in different levels of power. This is usually based upon the dedication and the consecration of the individual with the gifts or calling. The more that you crucify the flesh and submit to God, the greater the move of the Spirit of God in your life, causing that gift or calling to produce greater results. Not based on natural things. These calls are not based on natural wisdom, status, or ability. I have found that the greater a person's natural ability, wisdom, and status, the more difficult it is to respond to the call and gifts of God in their lives. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 to 31 says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base these things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that no flesh should glorify in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. But according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. If you have been endowed with great wisdom, talent, and ability, learn to submit to the Lord, lest you risk not fulfilling the call on your life. The nine gifts of the spirits, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirit, faith, the working of miracles, the gifts of healing, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy, can function in any of these calls, although some calls have more of the manifestation of some gifts than others. Imparted and empowered. Gifts are often imparted by the Holy Spirit. Romans 1 verse 11 says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." This is also why it is important to sit under someone who understands and function in these things. For in a time in which the Holy Spirit declares, a person can be imparted into. Not only are spiritual gifts and calling imparted, but spiritual power is released through the laying on of hands of your spiritual leader. My fellow saints in Christ, we'll take a short break and then we'll come back and finish it.
Lord, God, the name of man.
Welcome once again to the House of Christ Ministries present, Reverend Donald Davis. We thank you once again to listen to our show tonight, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to guide me as I speak to you tonight on the fivefold ministry gifts. Now we are going to speak about the grace area. The Church of the Living God is a body, which is the body of Christ as we know, which has many parts that function in different ways and has different graces given to each person that comprise or make up each part. The eye is not the mouth and does not have the grace to do what the mouth does. Neither does the mouth have the grace to do what the eye does. Yet each has its own specific grace or area that it can successfully function in. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 18 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now, had God set the members, one of them in the body, as he had pleased him." The body of Christ is comprised of many different parts, each having importance to the function of the body in its own way. Each part has its own graces, its abilities, and cannot do what others do. It is foolish to try to make each part of the body of Christ a carbon copy of other parts. This would cause us not to be a body with many parts, which is able to do many different things. Rather, we would become a part, perhaps an ear, which could only function in one way. We must learn to respect and appreciate the grace given in the body of Christ, and learn to identify and be content in the graces that we've been given, knowing that it benefits the whole body. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 27 to 30 gives further clarity. It reads, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Of all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongue? Do all interpret? We are a body designed to have varied parts and abilities, yet functioning together. Each person in the body has a measure of grace." And let us take a look at Ephesians 4, verse 7, which says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." The Merriam-Webster Collegiate Dictionary defines grace as a virtue, beneficial quality, or power of a thing, coming from God. Everyone has a grace area that they have been called to minister in. This is the place or thing that God empowers or gives you the ability to function in. The anointing only functions in your grace area. To the dismay of many independent Christians, the anointing or power of God in their life will not function in any other place but your grace area. You can be an act, or you will go wherever you desire. Even if God did not tell you to go, but don't expect his anointing or power to function there. If God didn't tell you to do it, then it's not going to work. It is God's anointing. And it is prescribed to a certain area, a certain territory, for a certain purpose, or for certain people. It does not turn on when and where you desire, other than the area that you are graced or called to minister in. So if you're not called to be an evangelist, then you know it would not make sense that you try to get in that area to do that. The evangelist Philip is a typical example of someone graced to minister in a particular place. He was charged to help serve tables as a deacon to the Hebrew widows in Jerusalem. In Acts 6, verses 1 through 6, we can read about that. We do not read what he cast out by devils while he was there. It was only when he went to other places that the grace or anointing on his call began to manifest. And if we take a look at Acts 8, verse 1 and 4, verse 8 says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." That means they were preaching the word of God. And this is what I want to encourage each and every one of you to do, including myself. We must preach the word of God. We must proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing miracles, which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. His grace territory was not Jerusalem. It was not until he came to the grace place that his grace gift was called to function in, that the anointing was released and the manifestation of what God called him to do was evident. How many Christians must be frustrated, wondering why the anointing is not flowing in their lives? God has made where they are at unproductive, not allowing them to be used where they are to the capacity that they are called to. In an attempt to move them, yet they don't recognize it, God allowed persecution to arise to scatter the church in Philip's day, causing him to go to Samaria. So sometimes things will happen in your lives, and you'll ask, you know, why am I going through this, and why do I have to uproot and why do I have to do this? As a Christian, we should understand that if we are not functioning in our grace area that the Lord wants us to function in, then he's going to uproot us and place us someplace else. Your grace area is specific. Your grace area could be in the church, a geographical territory, or people group or particular function, such as teaching, ushering, singing, healing, and our deliverance. Today we have problems in the church where nobody wants to be the usher. Nobody wants to stand at the door and guide the people in. But that's a part of ministry. And everything is required by true Christians. Not everyone is going to have the grace to preach. Not everyone is going to have the grace to sing. But everyone has a gift. And we should allow that to manifest within you. So if you're called and you're in the church and they assign you to be an usher, then you should welcome that and not complain, because murmuring and complaining is sin. You cannot go everywhere to anyone you desire to go to and minister. It will not work, because you will be in disobedience, and disobedience is sin. You have been given by the Lord a specific grace area, grace target, or grace work. You must also understand that the scope and size of your grace area is dependent upon the Lord and not upon man. He knows what you can handle and not just what you want. God also knows what you will adequately prepare for. Many people want more than they are willing to sacrifice for, prepare for, and be responsible for. I encourage you, my fellow Christians and servants of God, do not move or move from your grace area unless the Lord instructs you to do that. Many Christians, ministers, ministries, and churches get frustrated when they begin to move out of their grace areas. They often find failure. Some try to do what others have found success in doing, yet it does not work for them because the other person found that success in their grace area. Someone else's grace area is not your grace area. Beloved children of God, learn to be led by the Lord and not by what you see others doing. It is the enemy that tries to get you out of your grace area, knowing that you're not equipped to function in other areas. Again, the enemy will always try to remove you from your grace area. The enemy will try to hinder you from getting to it. The devils try to get you to be discontented with what God has called you to do and where God has called you to work. And I encourage you, do not follow suit. Not because another minister is doing something and it's been successful for him, meaning you're going to do the same thing too. Go into fasting. Submit yourself to the Lord. Cast down all imagination. Repent of your sins. And the Lord will lead you in the area that he wants you to go in. Cast down every thought and imagination the enemy, and tune your spiritual ear to the voice of God. It's very important to do that, saints. Sometimes we sit back and we believe we should be like this minister or that minister when we were not called to do that. So submit yourself to the Lord, and he will lead you in the direction that he wants you to go in. Not everyone is called to direct you in the area of your grace area, so we have to be careful of that. Be very careful regarding who is declaring what in your life. because there are false prophets today, false apostles, servants of the devil, servants of the enemy, ministers of the enemy, ministers of the devil, and they are misguided. To be popular, they will tell you what you want to hear and not what God wants for you. So want us to be extremely careful how we deal with this kind of situation and who we listen to. Not everyone is called to see or speak God's call and direction on your life. Most often, it will be someone who is a spiritual leader in your life in some capacity. So many Christians are being misled by some prophetic word from someone outside of God's chain of command for them. In 1 Kings, verse 13, we see, chapter 13, we see a prophet of God who was sent by God to Jeroboam to declare a judgment. God told him that after he had done what he was told to do, that he was to leave a different way than the way he came in, and that he was not to eat bread or drink water in that place. The prophet declared this to the king. Yet after he had left, another prophet met him and told him that an angel spoke with him by the word of the Lord and told him to bring the prophet who declared the judgment back to eat bread and drink water. The prophet who declared the judgment inquired to the lie of the other prophet and did what the Lord told him not to do. Later, the prophet who lied had a true word from the Lord, declaring that he was going to die before he got home. This came to pass. The prophet allowed someone to speak into his life that was not in his chain of command, and the cost for listening was his life. So we have to be extremely careful who we listen to. In today's society, we have people making all kind of predictions. They are making prophetic predictions, what is going to happen. They're apostle this, apostle that. So we have to be extremely careful who we listen to. If the word of God did not say it, then we must not believe it. We must renounce it. We must not listen. We should only submit ourselves to the word of God. His word is true, and God does not lie. Having an eye for a grace that you do not have. We'll take a short break, and then we come back, and we will speak. Having an eye for a grace that you do not have. Welcome once again to the House of Christ Ministry Presents, and we are proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world, and I always love to hear that song, the Hallelujah Chorus. It's one of my favorite, and I love to listen to it. I enjoy it very, very much. So let us get back to the lessons, having an eye for a grace that you do not have. There are many who have an eye or desire for certain grace calls and grace territory and responsibilities that they do not have the character for. Yet because they saw others operate in it, they now desire it, not counting the cost or understanding the qualifications for it. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 8, verses 18 to 24, which says, "And when Simon saw the true laying of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, they may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye the Lord for me, that of these things which ye have spoken come upon to me." Beloved, it is wrong to desire what others have been called to do. I will tell you again, it is wrong to desire what others have been called to do. If your motives are not right, many people want to do big and important things for pride's sake and other wrong reasons. If you want to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ because of your ego, and because of pride, and because of people looking up on you, then that's wrong. God will not grant you grace and cause if you have wrong motives and purposes. The greater the grace, the territory or scope of size and importance, the greater the depth of preparation to function in them. Some Christians try to identify themselves with and move in the overwhelming call of the day. For example, when God is restoring the prophetic call, everyone who ever had a dream, a revelation, or a word from the Lord in any way begins to believe that they have a prophetic gift or grace. Never mind the fact that they only had one dream, one vision, or one revelation, and it had to do with no one else but them. Yet, they somehow think that they are graced to be a prophet for the nation. Beloved servants of God and believers, we must begin to seek out God for what graces and calls that we have been given. He has not shown us or spoken to the spiritual leaders in our lives. It is a terrible and dangerous thing to step into a call or grace area that is not yours, for the enemy attacks you knowing that you are out of the will of God. Please understand that your grace area may be held back by the enemy if you do not have the proper spiritual base of prayer, reading the Word of God, fasting, and consecration to the Lord. This is true regarding all of the above things, but most especially prayer. In whatever grace area that you are called to, prayer is the key to the success of it. So whatever you're called to do, saints, we must stay in prayer every single day, morning, noon, and night. We must submit ourselves to the Lord. We must ask for forgiveness. We must repent. We must submit to Him. We need to search ourselves and do what is right by God. No God-ordained work or spiritual things is successful unless those involved pray. So whatever you do, especially in the ministry, you have to stay in prayer each day. You can have a lot of people and be busy without much prayer. But most likely, you're not doing what God has called you to do, nor are you getting true spiritual fruit or success that have eternal merit. There is power, provision, and true breakthrough in your grace area. But when you step out of it, there is lack and sometimes distractions. Don't be tempted to move from your grace area. Rather, wait on the Lord to lead you. There is a peace in the leading of the Lord. So many people and ministries find lack when they step out of God's grace area, but rather than turn around, they keep pressing forward until they are completely overcome by the enemy. And I have to remind you that the enemy is always waiting. He knows everything you're up to, and he knows the scripture very well. He knows every word in the Bible. And he's just waiting like a roaring lion, seeking who to devour. So we have to be extremely careful. We have to stay in prayer. We have to submit ourselves to the Lord. And we have to praise the Lord each day. Some grace areas are time-based. You may be called to go to a certain place, but God has a specific time or date that He sends you. So don't be in a rush. Take it one step at a time and wait patiently on the Lord, and He will guide your path. Or you may need certain experience to prepare you for the grace area. Sometimes it may feel that you're not doing or working in the area that God told you He would use you in. But you must trust wherever you are. If you are submitted to God, He's directing you to get to your grace area. Such was the case with Joseph in the book of Genesis. So don't get frustrated in waiting and the preparation period. Sometimes we get impatient, and sometimes we feel like nothing is going to happen. But if we trust in the Lord and be of good courage and stay in His word, then we will understand that God does not do anything on our time. He does things on His own time, and we must understand that. Lot's grace era was with Abraham. He was blessed when he was with him. We see that when they separated, Abraham stayed where the grace of God could flow in his life, while Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah. Through a decision of pride and selfishness, thinking that he was choosing the best. Yet his life was full of loss from that point on. You should never choose what you think or see will be a blessing with your natural eyes. Seek God regarding where and what He wants you to do. Also, your grace area may not call for you to be great or to do great things individually. Rather, if you work with a particular person or in a particular place, the grace for you to be great, for you to do great things, are connected to that person or place. If you move from there or them, that grace is also gone. Such was the case with Lot. I also knew a man who was called to be a prophet, to an apostle, but the prophet wanted what the apostle had. He wanted the apostleship, not the grace of greatness that would have come with the prophetic mantle to the apostolic work. His work is not very fruitful at this time. So we have to be extremely careful. And I encourage you again, you know, seek the Lord, and the Lord will guide your path. It might be slow, but we must believe on His word. And if we are true servants of God, then we will not think ourselves above doing certain things, like the menial things in the church, which some people call the ushers. They look down on the ushers. We must not do that. That's not in the will of God. So many seasoned Christians today go and attach themselves to mega ministries, expecting to be used, only to find that they are just part of the audience that is being ministered to and not used to minister to others. While some are called to these places, many others are not, and they soon find themselves inactive in ministerial service to God. Often our eyes, other senses, and the devil deceive us to go to the places that we have not been graced to go. We must move from association with the success or greatness of an established place to an association with the success and greatness of our God, who can cause us to bloom in a desert. Wherever God sends you is where His grace is for you to operate. And in that place, He can use you in a great way and cause great things to happen through the grace that He has given you to function there. Basic steps to identify your grace area. Cultivate a life of prayer. I encourage you to do that, and I strongly encourage you to do it. Ask God to show you. What has God showed you doing? Paul dreamed that a man was calling him to Macedonia. What do you find peace and satisfaction doing for the Lord? In what area or place is God affording you opportunities to be used? In what areas are you most successful working for the Lord? What areas has leadership in your life felt you called to work in? Saints in Christ, I need you to take this seriously. Get down in prayer and ask the Lord to lead you. And as we have reached the final segment of the show tonight, if you have any questions, you can send us an email at hodminister@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.hocm.ning.com. We encourage you and we invite you to join us next week, Wednesday night at 9 p.m., and we'll go deeper into the fivefold ministry and the calling on your life. Father, we thank you for this opportunity and this privilege to reach out to each and every person, O God. We pray that you bless those who were listening. Bless those who did not get a chance to listen. Lord, I pray, O God, that you'll touch them with the anointing. Father, in the name of Jesus, my words might not be eloquent, but I submit myself to the Lord, the true servant, and to spread his gospel and to proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world. I call on every Christian throughout the world tonight to submit themselves to the Lord. Take a stand and let us bring the enemy to defeat. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you tonight and we bless you. We thank you for this opportunity. Our Lord, we pray, O God, that the anointing will flow in our lives as we submit to you in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Once again, we thank you for listening. And this is the first in a series of shows from the House of Christ Ministry presenting the Reverend Donald Davis. And in weeks to come, we'll be having some guests on our shows as we make arrangement for them to come in and speak on different subject matter. But for the next couple of weeks, we will be speaking about the fivefold ministry and your grace area and the calling on your life. Again, if you have a question, you can send it to hodminister@gmail.com. God bless you. And have a good night, and open to speak to you next week again in this forum. God bless you all.